Father, in the name of Jesus, we call upon that name. That name that is powerful, higher than any name, whether in heaven, on earth, or anywhere else. The name of Jesus. For God has highly exalted his name, giving him a name that is higher than even the heavens. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord carrying his reputation. And his word being his bond. Thank you, Lord, because you stand behind your word. I sent my word and healed them, the scripture says. Thank you, Father. For you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, that we may have peace. You were beaten for it. Laid upon you, Lord, that we might have peace by all means. And by your stripes we are healed. We thank you for unto them that fear my name, saith the Lord, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. From a headache, to cancer, to even raising the dead, Lord can do it all. And even one time, he will raise millions of people, hallelujah, out of the graves. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the life also of Jesus that flows through our mortal flesh. Always bearing about the body, the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. That the life also of Jesus flow through our mortal body. We thank you for the dying of Christ. What he did on the cross, what he paid for, and how he said, it is finished. Glory to God. And we receive it. We receive our mental wellness healing and our minds healing for our soul, our spirit, every brokenness of the soul and of the spirit. Lord, even of the body, receive healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray that any spirit that's broken in here this morning be lifted up. Oh, yeah. Lord, any place where they feel like a, you know, dryness, feel like a pelican in the wilderness, a desert, I mean, an owl in the desert, a sparrow upon the housetop, feel all alone, feel like the grass that is withered, shadow, the life feel like the shadow that declineth. But Lord, thou, you know, shall endure forever. Thy years are forever, and thou shalt arise and bless and favor your people with healing, with health, with goodness, with mercy, with grace, with advancement, with joy, with peace, by all means, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you. For the word of God says, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt be brought down, made to become a plain. And whatever the mountain is, that great giant, fixing to slay some giants in here this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. Thanks for everyone that are coming in, Lord, that you will bring in. And thank you for everyone that will listen in later on. And whosoever will hear, let them hear what the Spirit is declaring for this morning. We come against the spirit of fear. Sonde shataboriyalash kisi nikambo. Yes, I command spiritual handcuffs on all the negative things. The voices that bring fear, doubt, unbelief, create all kind of emotions. Come against them in the name of Jesus. We pray for confidence in the Lord. Cast not therefore your confidence. That has great recompense of reward. For he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. For everyone that may be passing through right now, whether it's a fire that you are passing through, whether it's a flood that you are passing through, the fire will not kindle upon you, saith the Lord. Neither will the flood overwhelm you. Glory to God. For I got you. He said he got you. Glory to God. I will help you. Yeah. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for doing valiant things in our lives. We give you praise and glory, Lord. And wherever there is any gloominess, wherever there is any, you know, depression, sadness, heaviness, we command a lifting up in the name of Jesus. See the bush kitalaria. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Causing favor of life upon your people. That's exactly right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. And we give you glory. The Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. And I will not put upon you any of these sicknesses with the devil. You know, the devil is the one that's trying to put it. The Lord will never put it on you. But the devil will bring these things from time to time. But blessed be the Lord my God who healeth all of my diseases. Forgive it all my iniquities as well. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and give you glory. Now, every thing that has held people back, that's not allowing you to abound in joy, the fullness of joy, come against it in the name of Jesus. For in his presence must be fullness of joy. That's the word, and that word must be fulfilled. Thank you, Lord. Shine forth upon your people, Lord, today. Glory to God. Thou, O Lord, the perfection of beauty, shine forth upon your people. Glory to God. Let the beauty of the Lord shine upon us. In the name of Jesus. Lord, your name is at stake. For everyone that's looking unto you here this morning, that is called, or afternoon, that's called by the name of the Lord. Your name over them is the banner that they are believing for and believing in. And Lord, your name is at stake. Your reputation is at stake. The 24 elders show us that all throughout time, a cloud of witnesses, they have never seen anything fail of all that you have promised. Glory to God. Now, you've done it also in our lives before. We've seen great things that you've done. Now, we must believe you now, even now, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope and pray and trust the Lord blessed your heart in the, bless your heart through the prayer. Well, let's get to today's lesson. The slaying of a giant. Yes. You know, and I wrote that giant in capital letters because sometimes it's like a massive giant, like a mountain that just dwarfs you completely. I mean, you know, you don't know which way, you know, to turn sometimes because this thing is so, you know, insurmountable, it seems. But I tell you what, who art thou, O great mountain? Glory to God. Before Zerubbabel and before my people. Put your name there. For everyone, last one of you that's in here, that mountain shall become a plain. And it is not by might, not yet by power. Neither yet by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You know, another encouragement room here for you this morning. Wherefore, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and hear the word of the Lord concerning God's people. Here is what the Lord says to all the gates Who art thou, O great mountain? Zechariah chapter 4 and 6. The Lord said, I'll bring it down. Glory to God. For this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. By my own mouth, saith the Lord, I have said it, that every great mountain, all the mountains shall be leveled, and the valleys shall be filled, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, because there's a lifting up in the room here today. You know, the devil says there's a casting down. The devil says, well, you know, I mean, look at you. But the Lord says, yeah, don't look at you. Look at me, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God alone, and there is none else. I am thy savior, even thy healer of thy body. Now, as you praise the Lord in confidence, praise! He's the protector of your body, guardian of your soul. Hallelujah. Let's praise him in confidence. Yesterday we talked about in your waiting season, you know, and among other things, praising the Lord in confidence while we are waiting. Well, let's pick up this popular story. But listen to it, because the Holy Spirit always brings something. Every time you read the word or hear the word, when you engage in the Spirit, there is something that the Lord is going to reveal to you. Even though you've heard it before, even though you've read it before, but when the Lord brings it in the hour, then he's going to show you something that he wants you to know. The Lord speaks comfortably to his people. Say, comfort ye my people this morning. Glory to God. And wherever there are any troubled waters, peace be still. Hallelujah. For the Lord, he anoints your head today with the oil of gladness. Taking that heaviness, the spirit of heaviness, moving it out of the way, giving you the garment of praise. Glory to God. And all the things that bring sadness and sorrow, God anoints your head with the oil of gladness. Therefore shall the redeemed of the Lord come back unto their own place with singing, with joy, everlasting joy even shall be upon their heads. Praise the Lord. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, we read this story, and I want to read it to you, and I know you know the story. Hardly anybody in this room that doesn't know the story. But let's read and see what we might garnish out of it. Let's see the focus that the Lord wants to bring to us this morning. Praise the Lord. So as the story goes here, you know, here is what Jesse, David's father, said unto him in First Samuel chapter 17 and verse 17. Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, run to the camp to thy brethren, because, why, they were, you know, camped out. His older brothers were in the military, and they were facing, you know, this onslaught, you know, of the Philistines. And, you know, David was not in the army, was keeping the sheep. So his father sent him to go check them out, his brothers, you know, but there was a champion. This man was called Goliath of Gath. You know, I mean, he was about 9 foot tall. You know, he had a helmet of brass on his head, I mean, armed with a coat of nails. I mean, 5,000 shekels of brass, we are told the thing weighed. I mean, he had all kinds of things upon his legs, upon his shoulders. I mean, he was clad, looked like an Iron Man. And he was practically impenetrable and huge. And in his spear alone, Mike, I mean, this man was, you know, just the sight of him, you know, I mean, melted every heart. Even those who were valiant people, skilled in war, when they saw the sight of this man, they cowered. You know, I mean, they fled from his sight. Because his sight was overpowering and overwhelming. And he also spoke great swelling words. He said, look, why do you come out and set yourselves in battle array today? Am I not a Philistine? Are ye not servants of Saul? I'm just a man. And you are all men. Choose you therefore a man. And let him come down to me. There's no need for all of us to fight. You know, if he, the man that you chose, your champion, if he can fight against me and kill me, then we, all of us, Philistines, we will surrender to you and be your servants. But, listen now, if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants, and you shall serve us. So I defy the armies of Israel today. Give me a man, a champion, choose you any man. Let him come as we may fight together. And he strutted his stuff every day. He just, you know, and nobody, you know, could even answer him a word. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, David was the son of, you know, Jesse. He had 8 sons. You know, and the man was old. And 3 of his eldest sons followed Saul to the battle. Those that went was Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah. And, you know, David was the youngest. And he didn't go. So, you know, one day, as this Philistine drew near, morning and evening, day after day, night after night, almost 40 days he presented himself to them. It's finally, because the Lord was fixing to do something. See, when the Lord is fixing to do something, something must happen. The Lord is fixing to show us something in this lesson, so this thing must happen. This man came out there, defied all the armies of Israel. Jesse says to his son David, I could have said to, you know, the rest of the other 4 guys, about 8 sons that he had. 3 of them went to battle. 4 of them remained in the house. David remained with the sheep. So he could have sent anybody. But, you know, he sent David. And David had no clue what was going on. I mean, as far as he was not skilled for battle, he knew there was some kind of war because his brothers went, you know, went to the, they actually volunteered and they went to the battle. They were men of war too, you know, and they went. And so he took the things that his father gave him. He said, go there and bring their pledge. Their pledge means bring me something from him that shows me that he's alive, you know, and so on. So this man came, Philistine, Goliath, threatened them every day. And David went up early in the morning, left the sheep and so forth, and took as his father had commanded him, and went forth to the host. And then, you know, he went forth, you know, people were there, they were shouting, but nobody put the battle actually in array. You know, I mean, they were there, they sat in their camps, but nobody actually engaged. So, well, David got there. And then he ran into the army, saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, you know, there came one of the, up this same champion, this Philistine of God, Goliath by name. He came out of the armies of Philistine and spake according to all the same words that he had spoken before. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw, you know, Goliath, they were so afraid, and they fled from him. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches. Well, the king, everybody was scared. So the king, you know, put out a reward. You know, anyone that can get this man down, get him off our backs and kill him. My goodness. You know, the Lord, the king was going to give him great riches, giving even his daughter to wife and everything. Make his house free. He'll never pay taxes again. So David spoke to the man that stood by and said, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take away this reproach from Israel? You know, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Right away, we see that David is not going to approach this thing in the flesh like everybody else. For everybody said, this man has come to defy Israel. He has come to, even Goliath himself said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Well, the children of Israel said, this man has come to defy Israel. But David said, no, this man has come to defy the armies of the living God. So already he's kicking up in gear. Spiritually speaking, he's already trying to engage in the spirit. Because if you're talking about the reputation of the living God here, the armies of the living God. I mean, this man's coming to fight the armies of the living God. That's the way that David thought of it. Nobody else thought of it that way. You know, they were just trying to go up in their own strength. They said, we can't do it. Nobody can go against this man. So his older brother comes to him, you know, and after everybody asked him and said something to him, this manner and so forth, will the king do and all that, to the man that is able to overcome this one. So he asked again around. He said, so while he's going around, Eliab saw him talking to the people. And Eliab said, look, what are you doing here? You know, I know your pride, because you want to come and see the battle. Where did you leave all those sheep in the wilderness? I mean, why are you come down here? And David said, look, what have I done? Is there not a cause? I mean, this man is going here, you know, I mean, bringing reproach to the name of the Lord. And then he said, you know, so Eliab said, go home. We don't need you in the battle. And David says, which battle? I don't see any battle. All I see is everybody scared. In his mind, he's thinking these people are a bunch of Caesars. You know, he didn't say it out, but in his mind, he's thinking it. All I see is everybody cowering in their corners, you know, and they're talking about battle. He says to him, look, leave me alone. I don't see any battle here. All I see, you guys in the corner here, running away from this man. Who is this man even? Hallelujah. So he spake again, just walked away from his brother. Leave me alone. You know, and he walked around again, you know, talked to somebody else. Brother came there and tried to get him. Get away from here. This place is dangerous. Go home. You know, and I said, I'm not going anywhere. I want to see the end of this thing. So meanwhile, you know, Somebody rumors to the king that there's somebody here that's talking as though they can do something in this situation. They're asking about the, you know, what shall the king give in reward to the man that brings this man down? Say, well, you know, I mean, who is the person? Go bring him here. Let me see. Eliab says to David, see, now you're in trouble now. So the king calls for you. I told you to go home. David just said, well, I told you also, leave me alone. I'm reading in between the lines here, you know, storytelling. So anyway, he goes before the king. Saul says to him, you are not able, you know, before Saul said anything, David said to Saul, when he's before the king, he said, look, let nobody's heart fail because of this man. Your servant will go and fight with him. And the king looks at him with disdain. Disdain. Just looks at him and say, you bother youth. You're just a young man. I mean, this man is a man of war from his youth. He's a champion. He has killed a lot of people. Nobody in all the armies of the valley and everywhere, the countries round about, nobody's been able to come up against him. You know, I mean, you have no experience. How in the world are you going to do this thing? I'm not going to let you do it. This is suicide. And David said, look, let me tell you something. Your servant, when he kept his father's sheep, and David now is going to say what he knows. See, this is the story part. David is going to say what he knows. He's going to fall back on the experience that he has had. He doesn't know anything about carrying a shield, doesn't know anything about carrying a sword, doesn't know anything about, you know, battle noise and all these things that, you know, the blowing of the trumpet and all that, marching to war and so on. But he knows one thing. He knows hand-to-hand combat. Woo-hoo! This man, young man, he said, look, when I was keeping my father's sheep, I may not know anything about this way. Your people go out in armies and so forth. But I tell you what, when I was keeping my father's sheep, there was a lion, glory to God, that came up against me and the flock. And he took one of the flock, had it in his mouth, and was growling like that. And he was going to started dragging the thing away. And I went after him. You can't take what's mine. That is mine, not on my watch. And David said, look, your servant got into a hand-to-hand combat with that lion. The king said, lion? You fought a lion? He said, look, you know, not only did I fight the lion, I got back the kid that he saw. See these scratches over here? You know, he tried to scratch me, but you should have seen the other guy. I put him down. And I got what was mine. Glory to God. And he said, you did that? I said, well, not only that. You know, there was yet another situation. There was a bear that came up against. A bear came up against you. I said, yeah. Those grizzly bears, whatever, it came up. I said, yeah. Did too. And likewise, he took one of my flock and I went after him as well. And I got into a fist fight. You got into a fist fight with the bear? What did you do when he rose up against you and pounded his chest like that? He said, well, thy servant was not afraid. You know, he came up, he rose up against me like that, but I went after him in the name of the Lord. And I got back what was mine. I slew. Not only did I slay the lion, I slew also the bear. And by this time, this man's got the attention of the king. The king said, wow, my goodness. So anyway, well, here's what I'm going to do. If you really want to go on this suicide mission, well, let's at least give you some armor. Let's put some things on you to help you. So, you know, cause these, you know, the guards, keep this man, you know, suit him up. So they suited him up with all the things and so forth. And gave him the shield, gave him everything, put a helmet, put everything, put the boots, strapped him on. And David could not even move. You know, and he said, I can't do this. I mean, you know, I have not tried. I can't use this. Get this thing off of me. He said, well, I don't think I can let you out there, you know, without any defense. And he said, the Lord is my defense. Don't worry about it. Now, give me a few minutes. I'm going to go get something that I can use. Glory to God. So David goes back to the brook. Say, hey, you know, there's a brook around here. You know, he goes down there and he remembered. He said, Lord, you've been my shepherd. You being the one that were there with me, glory to God. When that bear, in fact, when that lion took one of mine, you know, I went after him in the name of the Lord. And you know, I got him back. And I slew that lion. You know, the witch, nobody would go against, but you delivered that lion to my hand. And remember, Lord, how you delivered the beer into my hand. And that beer, when he rose up against me, he was as tall and perhaps even taller than this Goliath. And you did it too. So, Lord, guide my hands here, wittingly. And the Lord said, of course. So he goes out there and he's looking. And the Holy Spirit guides him. He picks out, you know, 5 smooth stones. Hallelujah. And he sings a song also, too, before he goes. You know, he loves to do that. He said, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, thousands and so forth. You know, nothing. You know, they surround me. I will destroy them in the name of the Lord. You know, and he's saying, look, if the Lord be for me, who can be against me? I don't care about this Goliath or whatever. The Lord is with me. And in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. Hallelujah. And he strengthened himself. He wrote those psalms. He said this. He said, look, the Lord is my, you know, high tower. It's my strong defense. I'm going to go in your name. He psyched up himself in the Lord. And the Lord said, you got this. So he went back to the king and said, you know, I'm ready. And the king, then they announced, you know, the trumpeters, they blew the trumpet. That's the way they passed the message across one to another. Say, we got it. We got a champion. And Goliath said, whoo-hoo, my goodness. Yeah, well, finally, I thought you'd never say so. You know, and finally, you know, we can see some action here. Send him out. Let him fight with me. So he's waiting, you know, and his army, everybody, waiting, rolling, everything going on. And this young man, he comes out of the shadows and he steps forward. And Goliath is looking around, thinking, is he some kind of a decoy or what? And he doesn't see any decoy. I mean, he's like, what is this? What is this? You guys are sent to me, a kid? What do you think? You think we're here playing? I'm going to kill this kid. Then I'm going to kill all of you. You know, and it's like, what, you carrying a staff? Am I a dog? Or what do you, the guy is just furious like that. I'm going to break you in pieces. When I finish, then I'm going to turn around and break all the others as well. And then all the Israeli army that was trying to follow David at a distance, they ran back even. David was left all alone, faced with that giant. David said, you come out against me with a spear, a shield, this armor, and all of these things, blowing up smoke, saying all kinds of things, blaspheming the name of the Lord in my house. You come out against me in my house, blaspheming the name of the Lord, and say, this God that you have defied, today he will give you into my hands. The man said, come to me. Come to me. David said, no, you come to me. You know, and so, you know, David said, remember, Lord, you know, you are my help. By my hand, with my hands, I can bend a bow of steel. Remember, Lord, you know, I can run through troops. I can leap over walls. This thing will be just like one of those. And I remember when that bear rose up against me, yeah, I think you were preparing me for this. You know, it looks just like this Goliath. And meanwhile, all that David saw was the bear. He didn't even see Goliath at all. He just saw this huge bear that rose up against him. Of course, the Lord was preparing him for that. And David, he reached out in there. Holy Spirit guided his hands. He picked a stone. He got his sling. And he said, Lord, thou will guide my hands. Glory to God. Now show yourself mighty today. And he slung that thing. There was only one place in Goliath's armor that was naked. Only one. It was up from top to bottom. Steel of iron all around him. Only one place right between his eyes that was naked. Woo, Rashakori Labos. This man slung that stone. The Holy Spirit guided, the angel of the Lord guided that thing like an arrow. Targeted like a missile. My goodness. struck this Goliath right between the eyes. Before he even knew what hit him, he fell down, he slumped over. My goodness, but the Holy Spirit, he put some speed to that stone too. When he fell down like that, David didn't have a sword. All he had was a sling and the stones. So he ran over. You know, this man was down. You know, so David said, I'm going to finish you off. But today, I'm going to give you over to, you said you were a dog. So a dog you will be. I'm going to finish you off in the name of the Lord. The Lord whom you have defied. Try to grab this man's sword. He couldn't do it. You know, but now they had to put two hands to it to take this man's sword because he was so big. And he took this man's sword and the Lord strengthened his hand. He said, Lord, give me strength now. The Lord gave him the strength, put his strength in his hands. He took this sword. Yeah, the sword was so heavy, couldn't even carry it. But the Lord gave him strength. Lifted up this sword, struck down the man. My goodness. Well, the man had armor even around his neck. How he was able to cut it off, I don't know. But the Lord gave him just strength. He cut off the man's head. He probably took the armor off. You know, he looked at it. He said, wow. You know, took off his helmet. The man was now fully exposed. Say, yeah. But he's bleeding. He's bleeding profusely. He's blinded now. He can't see. He can't do anything. David struck a nerve right there. Yanked out his helmet. Took his sword. Off his head. The slaying of a giant. And David carried up that head like this. And then there was the sun just rose and shone on it. My goodness. And everybody and Israel blew the trumpet. That's the way you blow that shofar, you know, for different things. You blow it for war. You blow it for marriage. You blow it for call an assembly. But you also blow it for victory. Oh, glory to God. This time around, they blew it for victory. It was victory. Israel shouted a great shout that the earth rang. And when the camp of the Philistines saw that their champion was dead and his head in David's hand, my goodness, they took flight. They had come in one way against Israel. They went out seven ways. Harabo Shilakin Samboria. Because the Lord that day, he gave deliverance by the hand of but a youth who believed the Lord. Who said, the Lord that delivered the lion into my hand and delivered me from the paw of the bear, he will also deliver you. This uncircumcised Philistine into my hand. And he went in the name of the Lord. And he said, I will go in the name of the Lord God. He went up against this thing in the name of the Lord. And he got the victory. And this was, remember, this thing is so incredible. I mean, you have to think of this story because the armies, people who were trained, Saul was the captain of the army. I mean, he was head above the shoulders, but he was nothing. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. But he was dwarfed even by this big Goliath. And he was afraid. I mean, Saul himself was a man of war. All these people that were with him were men of war, but they were afraid. It took but a little young teenager come up there in the name of the Lord. And he was guided by some facts. Let's look at the facts. Well, this was a young man that had seen and been in hand-to-hand combat. And think about even when he went up again. What gave him the confidence to go up against a lion? How would a lion, how are you going to get the, you know, the prey from, you know, the mouth of the lion? How are you going to do it? You know, but David wasn't afraid. Because he knew the Lord. I mean, he spent time in praising the Lord, in telling God how great he is, you know. And all those times, you know, the Lord stood up for him. My goodness. David said, look, when I prayed, and this was his experience. And he knew how to pray to God to the point where the Lord will fight for him. And the Lord strengthens his hands. You know, the Lord strengthens his hands against the lion. The Lord strengthens his hands, you know, and he had this, this dagger knife, you know, that he had. It was a little shepherd's knife. He had it in a holster. You know, when he went up against that lion, that lion struck out at him. He took that thing, you know, and God just gathered his hand, stuck that thing from underneath his chin like this. I saw it one time. You say, how do you know that? Well, I don't know, but that's what I saw. Put it in under his chin like that. And my goodness. And finished the lion off. And David was the man. Like, you know, a young man, he knew that, look, when I got him down, I got to finish him off. take no prisoners. He got that lion down. He finished him off. Same thing with the bear. And by the time he was facing Goliath, he knew, I can slay this giant. God already gave me victory over the lion. God had given me victory over the bear. This, you know, this man will be as one of them. In fact, you know, God had prepared him for Goliath by the bear. So when that bear rose up like that, pounded his chest against David, it was bigger than Goliath. But David, it didn't make any difference to him. He got the victory nonetheless. Glory to God. Now let's see the kind of prayer that David used to pray. Or more importantly, the kind of impact that his prayer used to have. Here's how David used to pray. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Hallelujah. In Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength against the lion, my strength against the bear. In him will I trust. He's my buckler and the horn of my salvation. He is even my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved, whether it's from the lion, whether it's from the bear, and even from this uncircumcised Philistine. Hallelujah. Say, the sorrows of hell compass me. Even floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about these snares of death. Getting a fist fight with a lion. You are a dead man. If you come out of that alive, that will be God. You get into a fist fight with a bear like that. He said, well, when I was in that situation, I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God. Hallelujah. And he heard my voice out of his temple. My cry came before him, even into his ears. Now, that was his prayer. This was a young man that knew how to pray. But let's see the kind of response that his prayer generated. And let's see if your prayer can do this. You have this kind of clout with God. Can you make God respond through your prayer, through your faith, through praising the Lord like this young man? Let's see how the Lord responded. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations, also the hills were moved and were shaking because the Lord was wrath on my behalf. My goodness. There went out a smoke out of his nostrils. Can your prayer do this? Fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Can you pray? Can you lift up your voice on high like this and cause God to respond like this? Sure you can. You just need to know how to praise the Lord. Prayer that gives like a turbo boost to your prayer. My goodness. If you really know how to do it like David did, he said, the Lord bowed the heavens and came down. Well, can God come down because you pray? Absolutely. Darkness was upon his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness, secret place, pavilion, you know, around him, dark waters and thick clouds. Brightness was before him. Thick clouds passed before him. Hailstones. I mean, this young man, he can pray and hailstones can come out of heaven. He wasn't asking for hailstones. He was just magnifying the Lord. And all he was just doing, magnify the Lord, magnify the Lord, magnify the Lord. And God responding in kind. Coals of fire. The Lord also thundered from their heavens. Marokash. Zezubani. Can you make God speak with thunder? Yes, the Lord said, call upon me and I will answer you in secret place of thunders. The highest gave his voice. He sent hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out even his arrows, fought on my behalf. He sent for lightnings. Glory to God. My goodness, he scattered all my enemies. The channels of water were seen. Foundations of the earth were discovered at the rebuke of the Lord. Look, study this psalm and see how the effect of one young man can make God do all these things. Effect of his prayer, the prayer of one young man, you know, and then check it out and see if you can do it, you know, and see if you can believe God like this David did. You know, he prevented me in the day of my calamity. He delivered me from my strong enemy, you know, from those that hated me, delivered me even from the lion, delivered me from the bear that were too strong for me, delivered me. He brought me up out of the day of my calamity, got me out of there, brought me up also out of a miry clay, brought me into a large place. He delivered me, you know, he put a song of victory in my mouth, he said. And he said, look, because he delighted in me. Why did the Lord delight in this young man? Because of the power that David packed in his prayers. Because the prayers were mostly praising the Lord. He would tell God how great God is. He would say, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Thou art my God, and I will love thee. You know, you begin to tell the Lord, you are my high tower, you are my hiding place, you are my shield and my defense, sir. Glory to God. You begin to say, you know, you are my fortress, sir. Under your wings will I trust. Your name is a banner unto me. And he will just say all these things. The Lord has flexed his arm. His right hand gets him the victory. And he begins to say these great things about the Lord. And when you say it with a pure heart too, not just lip service. This man, when he said it, my God, my goodness, God will rise up. Look, there is a kind of prayer that get God to stand up. That prayer is one that is loaded with the high praises of God. If you know how to do that, God will stand up on your behalf. He will blast with his nostrils. He will send arrows of deliverance for you. He will utter his voice, a strong voice, and go out before his camp. And the word of the Lord, when he gives it like that, the angels will go forth on your behalf. Whatever it is today, it may be some mountain, you know. You know, when you're standing beneath a mountain, that mountain will completely dwarf you. You can't even see the top of that mountain. So something God showed me some time back. You know, and you look like nothing beneath that mountain because you're right at the bottom of the mountain. And then the Lord says, well, but stand back. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. So when I stood back far enough, you can see the gradient now. You know, when you're right at the foot of the mountain, you can't see the top of the mountain. But when you stand back far enough, the gradient, the line of sight, you can now see the top of that mountain. And what do you see on that mountain? My goodness, what he showed, there was this colossal figure that had his left foot and his right foot astride that mountain. And he completely dwarfed the mountain that had dwarfed me. My goodness. But all I had to do was just stand back. Stand back and see the Lord of the mountain. Now, glory to God. How he stands astride that mountain, colossal figure, drops the mountain completely. And he said, look unto me. Hallelujah. Don't look to the mountain. Look unto me. this mountain, even this that looks like a giant, shall be removed by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, when you know how to pray, this kind of prayer that moves God, my goodness, God will stand up for you. You too can go up against this giant. And how did David do it? He called to remembrance former testimonies of the Lord's deliverance. The testimony of the lion against the lion and the testimony against the bear prepared him for the present conflict. Now, sometimes we forget, but David didn't forget. You know, the children of Israel always seemed to forget. They forgot all the miracles that God did in the land of Egypt. Even when the angel of destruction, the final one, went out throughout the land to slay all the firstborn. And God had instructed Moses, and he instructed them, a lamb for an house, put the blood on the doorpost, and anybody inside the house, say, I guarantee you, if any Egyptian firstborn had gotten inside one of those houses that had the blood on it, he would have been saved. But the angel just looked at the blood, passed over. That's it. And they forgot all those things. They even forgot the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. The single most spectacular miracle that they experienced in that journey out of Egypt. They forgot all of that. And the next thing that comes up against them, there's no water. They begin to grumble. They find water, it's bitter, they begin to grumble. I mean, every other thing that comes out against them, they begin to grumble. You know, and they think they're going to die in the wilderness. And they forget this great hand of the Lord. So don't you ever forget. The God that delivered you from that, you got to remember what that was. You God that delivered you from that, call out the lion. The deliverance from the lion in the past. Call out the bear. And then gain strength for the present conflict. Glory to God. That same God that delivered you from the bear and the lion, he will give you the grace, and this giant shall be slain. Hallelujah. The slaying of a giant. And I'm fixing to slay a few giants here this morning. Glory to God. You know, praise God. I got the Lord of the mountain on my side. I'm not afraid of, you know, the mountain that tries to dwarf me. Well, yeah, if I go up against the mountain in my strength, of course, you will completely dwarf me, you know. But when I stand back and see the salvation of the Lord of the mountain, how the colossal figure, you know, stands astride that mountain, completely dwarfs that mountain. The ratio of how the mountain dwarfs me is not even compared to the ratio of how this colossal figure dwarfed the mountain. My goodness. Hallelujah. So glory to God. What is that giant that must be slain today? Hallelujah. I'm going to pray over the room right now in a minute. But I want to read to you a story also. There's a reason why God does certain things sometimes. Look, anything that I'm telling you today is already in God's word. Anything that anybody would tell you about what God can do is already in God's word. You know, God has already said it, that declared it in his word. You know, he said, once have I heard, twice, you know, that all power belongs to God. And Jesus said it himself, all power in heaven and earth. After he whooped the devil, says, deliver unto me now. But sometimes we need the little confirmation. That's what the 24 elders are there for. They're a cloud of witnesses. They're not there to check the Lord, you know, but they are there to tell you. And look, we've seen throughout all generations, you know, he's never failed any of his goodness. Now listen to this story in Judges chapter 7. This is a story of Gideon. Now we talked about the story of David against Goliath. Well, this is not exactly a Goliath type of thing, but I just want to bring something out. Why God does these things the way he does it, to bring you encouragement. You know, the story in Judges chapter 7. Of course, the Lord had visited Gideon, and he had, you know, the Lord had told him that, look, he was going to use him greatly. The angel that came to him said, "Thou man of valor," and all that stuff. And Gideon, when the angel visited him and said, "Thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee." And Gideon said, "Mighty man of valor, if the Lord is with us, where be all those miracles?" Now, this is kind of like a contrast with David. You know, David knew that the Lord was with him. And this man, he didn't know it. But it's like, look, look at our life. We have to hide from the Midianites. Anything we thresh, you know, when they do the threshing and all this thing, you know, they have to hide it because the Midianites will come and take it from them. And so the Lord said, "Wow, I like that fire in you. I can use that." And the Lord said, "Look, I'm going to do this." So Gideon, he said, "Well, if it's the Lord, let this be, you know." First, you know, he prayed, you know, you know the story of the fleece. Well, if it is the Lord, you know, that is speaking, and if indeed the Lord will do this, well, then I'm going to put this little fleece here. It's like a piece of cotton wool or something. I'm going to put it on the floor here or on the ground, and let it be that, you know, only the fleece will be wet and the ground will be dry. And it was so. And he checked out in the morning and it was so. He said, "Okay, well, maybe the fleece soaked, you know, just sucked up all the water around it. Okay, so fine. Let me check it out. Something more, a little more difficult. Well, let all the ground around it be wet and only the fleece be dry. Then that way, I don't know. I mean, because that can't happen. I mean, if the Lord sent rain all around and only this little thing is dry and everything else is soaking wet, then I'll know." Because he didn't know the voice of God. So the Lord had to train him. But the Lord was patient with him. He let him do all those stuff, you know. And then finally he said, "Yeah, now I know the voice of God." Now he knows the voice of God. So he's not going to be checking God out anymore. You know, now he knows the voice. And from that point on, and the Lord said to Gideon. Now he knows the voice. So the Lord said to Gideon here, you know, and the Gideon prepared the army. The Lord told him, "Look, I'm going to, you know, give you deliverance. I mean, your people deliverance through your hands." So, you know, he gathers the people, gets about 32,000 people, you know, that, you know, trained and so forth. And then they're trying to go against these Midianites. And the Lord said to him, "Look, the people that are with you are too many." And so on. This is the story in chapter 7 of Judges. You know, and he said, you know, so the Lord gave him some instruction. "Tell the people, you know, anybody who thinks they may not come back alive from this battle, let them return home. If they have just married a wife, let them return home." You know, let this and that. Gave him some criteria. So he announced to the people, you know, a bunch of them return home right away. You know, and thousands of them actually return home. And, you know, there were still too many. There were still 10,000 left. There were still too many. And so, you know, 22,000 returned. 10,000 was left. And the Lord said, "Look, there's still too many. Go down to the river and I'll do this and I'll show you. Those who lap with the hand, those who bend down." At the end, he separated only 300. And the Lord said, "Yeah, with these 300 people, I will deliver you so that you will know it's me and not the strength of the people." Well, you know, meanwhile, you know, Gideon is still gathering, you know, stirring himself up and so forth. So the Lord is going to help him. Here's the story that I'm going to. God, how God helps you when he sends somebody to tell you something that the Lord already told you, you know, in his word. But he will do something to tell you something too. You know, like, you know. Lord sent me here and I'm telling you this today. God already said all these things in his word. There's nothing I'm saying here that God needn't already say. But by me saying it, it can strengthen you. So here's what happened. You know, so, you know, the Lord told him what to do. And he said, "Look, if you are afraid, well, take your servant called Phura, go down to the host and you're going to hear something. The Lord's going to give you some encouragement by what you hear. You know, but take somebody with you so that if you have a witness, you won't say, 'Did I hear that?'" You have a witness. So, okay. So he takes his servant. He goes down, you know, they crawl up somewhere against, you know, the host and they're there, you know, And while they're waiting, you know, then they're looking, they're spying, they're camping out, you know. It's a stakeout. You know, they're in a stakeout. And then, you know, two guys of the Midianites, they're standing, you know, at a distance where they can hear them. And this man said to the other one, he said, look, I dreamt a dream last night. And I saw a cake of barley bread that tumbled to the host of Midian, you know, and it came into one net and smote it, overturned it, and the tent, and so forth. And then he went and he did some other things. And his bread, I mean, he told his friends, what is this kind of dream? And this man, the other man that was listening to the dream, he said, look, this is nothing else. This is Judges 7 verse 14. Nothing else but the sword of Gideon. How can you say a bread, a loaf of bread is the sword of Gideon? How do you even know Gideon is the captain? Well, the Lord put this interpretation of that dream into the mouth of the other guy just for the sake of Gideon to hear it. Because the Lord already told him, go down there and you hear something that will strengthen your heart. Lord already told him he was going to get the victory, but he was still kind of, you know, am I, you know, going to do it? So the Lord, you know, allowed his dream and allowed the person that was going to interpret. He allowed Gideon to be there to hear it. And when the man said that, look, this dream you saw, even though it looked to you like bread and so forth, you know, this is Gideon. It's nothing less than Gideon. And this is what he's going to do to the camp of the Midianites. My goodness. Wow. And he said, and remember, Midianites, they were accompanied with the Amalekites. They were like grasshoppers. The Bible says for multitude. You can find that somewhere, I think in verse 12. Judges chapter 7 verse 12. They were like grasshoppers without the number, you know, and so on. So, but the Lord allowed Gideon to hear that thing. So sometimes the Lord will allow something to happen. He might send a man of God. He might declare something for you. He might send me. I might declare something for you. It's just an encouragement. God already said it in his word. We don't need anybody else to tell you anything. God already said it. But sometimes he will do it just to give us a little extra encouragement. So I am here this morning to give you that little extra encouragement. Now, your giant can be anything, you know. So it's left for you to know. I mean, you know what your giant is that you're facing today. But call to remembrance too. The victory that the Lord has given you over that lion and over that bear. It may not be fist fights, but the God had pulled you out of some things in the past that you thought could not be. I mean, it can even be, you know, a situation, a health situation. The doctor said you could not recover. This is a killer disease, but the Lord pulled you out of it. The Lord will put a word in somebody's mouth sometimes. They'll tell you something. It's not that you don't already know it. It's not that the Lord didn't already say it, but it's just to give you a booster. So, ladies and gentlemen, I've spoken for a long time, but this was good. I wanted to get this out. And that is what the Lord wants me to tell you today. That the giant that you are facing, God is fixing to cut it down. And I'm going to pray right now. And wherever you are, I want you to lift up your hands. And the giant that you are facing, if you receive, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9, if you receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. Now, whatever that witness of God may be, the witness of God is greater. The devil that has stood and said, ha-ha, aha, I'm going to swallow you up. Well, you know, a few weeks ago, I gave us a memory verse, you know, and I don't know if anybody remembers it, but I'm going to challenge you right now. And this memory verse was in Psalm 118, you know, and verse 17. And what did it say? I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Glory to God. And then Some other person's giant may be something that's come collapsing down on you. It just try to, you know, stifle you out. You can't breathe. You know, it may not be sickness. It may not be disease, but it could be that too. Some overwhelming situation and things, whatever it is. I can't go into all the world, but guess what the Lord put in my mouth today. So where you are, raise your hand and let's believe God. Lord, whatever the giant is, we've seen the slaying of a giant. Through the life of David, we saw it. We've seen the testimony of the dream and the interpretation that boosted the faith of Gideon. Well, may this word that I've shared today be that boost to the heart of the people. When your heart is fainting, your heart might have been fainting this morning. Receive strength in Jesus' name. Now, I come against that mountain. In the name of the Lord, I come against it. The mountain that has dwarfed you and made you look like nothing. And the devil said to you, you're finished now. You know, remember, the word of the Lord is his bond and his name is his reputation. His name is at stake here. Now, Lord, your name, I'm going to put the Lord, you know, under pressure now. Let me put it that way. I'm going to put the Lord under pressure. That's all we need to do. So, Lord, your name is at stake because I am called by your name. And I've witnessed a good witness to people that I am the Lord. I mean, I am the Lord's, you know, I belong to the Lord and that he will take care of me. Now, therefore, will the Lord not be jealous for his name and rise up and show his hand mighty, even in the situation that I'm in? And the Lord said, yes, of course I will. Glory to God. You know, and the Lord says, who art thou, O great mountain? Before, now put your name there, and I put your name there. Every one of you that's in this room today, whatever the mountain is that you are facing right now, that seems insurmountable. The Lord that gave victory over the lion and gave victory over the bear, he will give you victory and you will slay the giant. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Giants are slain here this morning. The Lord will tread them down. And he'll bring forth the headstone with grace, grace, grace. Break down every mountain. The mountains shall be brought low. The valleys shall be filled. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And the grace of God through the headstone shall come to you, bringing grace and grace and grace. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.